Shall we open up our Bibles or navigate our electronic gizmos to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, as we continue our verse-by-verse study of the New Testament here on Sunday mornings. Wednesday nights, we're going verse-by-verse to the Old Testament. Currently, we're in the book of Job on Wednesday nights. That begins at 7 o'clock, and children's care is provided, so you can bring your kids out. And hope to see you here as we study the whole counsel of God. But here Sunday morning, we're in the New Testament, specifically Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, where we read, "And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Well, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Now the sower sows the word, and these are ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Well, this morning the message is entitled, "How's Your Heart?" How's your heart doing? You doing okay physically? Everybody got a pulse? That's good. If you have a pulse, you're doing okay. Now, spiritually, though, that's a different question, isn't it? Now, Jesus had healed many, many people up to this point. He had developed a huge following, so much so that Jesus had arranged for a getaway vehicle just in case the crowds became too aggressive. Look back at chapter 3, verse 7, where Jesus where it says in verse 7, Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the sea, and great multitudes from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and verse 8, and Jerusalem, and Idumea, and beyond the Jordan, and those from Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude. When they heard how many things he was doing, they came to him. So they heard about the healing, they heard about the deliverance, they heard about the many, many, many miracles. And so people were coming to him by the droves. Notice in verse 9, so he told his disciples that a small boat should be kept ready for him because of the multitude, lest they should crush him. For he healed so many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him." Maybe they had heard about the woman who had the 12-year-long flow of blood, who touched the hem of his garment and was immediately healed. And so there are many people wanting to touch Jesus for their physical needs. Now, as the crowds gathered, though, Jesus had a much greater agenda, a far deeper agenda than simply meeting physical needs. He came to preach the kingdom of heaven. Because here's the deal. Bottom line, whatever disease we have, the Lord may heal us today, but we're all going to die eventually anyway. There's going to be one disease the Lord does not heal us from, and that's the last one. that we have. And then comes the kingdom of heaven. So we have how many years on this earth? 70, 80, 90? Anybody think they're going to live to 100? You do? Okay. Bless your heart. Good luck with that. Maybe you will. That would be great. I'm sure you'll keep in great shape and be able to run 10Ks and all that at that point. But we're all going to die eventually. And so Jesus' emphasis is not on the here and now, not just making us comfortable. His emphasis is on getting our eyes off of this side of eternity and on to the next, that we would live this life so that we can have the best eternity possible. He preached the kingdom of heaven, which was repent and believe in him, which was whoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, die to yourself, and then follow me. So crowds were gathered. He began teaching them things relating to the kingdom of heaven. Here in chapter 4, Mark records some of Jesus' teachings, beginning with the parable of the sower. And in verses 1 through 9, Jesus gives more than a mere lesson in farming. This is more than just a mere lesson in farming. Verse 1, "And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea." So try to picture now the scene as Jesus is in this little boat pushed off a little ways from the shore, which, by the way, aided in projecting his voice, as his voice would have then bounced off the water. So not only was he able to get away from the pressing crowds, but able to project his voice to the masses. And in verse 2, we read, "And then he taught them many things in parables." Some of you have been in this fellowship for a while, realize that it's coming. So those of you who are new to the fellowship, get ready. "He taught them many things in parables and said to them in his teaching," what's a parable? What is a parable? Is it two large male cows? No, it's not a parable. No, a parable, again, you've probably been here a while. A parable is a story of a common occurrence that had an underlying deeper spiritual meaning. He would tell a story of a common occurrence, but yet underneath that was a spiritual lesson. And in verse 3, he says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." Not needle and thread, but somebody sowing seed in the ground. Quite possibly at this point, Jesus might have been pointing over to some farmer, somebody who is in the process of sowing seed. "Behold, hey, look over there. Look at that guy." Yeah, a sower goes out to sow. Now, this gives us a glimpse into the lives of the first century farmers. They didn't plant their vegetable gardens like you and I might, you know, nice even rows and, you know, the little popsicle stick with the little packet of seed that glued to it so we know what's growing. But what the sowers, the Jewish farmers would do would to be to till up a plot of ground and then reach into their bag and then scatter their seed as evenly as possible by hand. And so they just broadcast it. "And it happened," verse 4, "as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside," the pathway that people walked on. "And the birds of the air came and devoured it, the foot-trodden, beaten down, hardened pathway." Verse 5, "Some fell on stony ground," second type of soil, "where it did not have much earth. Now, immediately it sprang up, but because it had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, it was scorched. Because it had no root, it withered away." So the first soil, the hard beaten path. The second soil, thin layer of soil, but underneath rocks. Verse 7, "Some seed fell among thorns," the weed bed. You know, it's interesting. You try to grow a vegetable, and sometimes it can be very difficult. But it's never difficult to grow weeds. In fact, it's difficult to kill them. And so here the seed fell among these thorns, the weed bed. The thorns grew up. Weeds grow faster than normal plants that we want. And the weeds typically win. And so the weeds grew up faster, and the thorns grew and choked it out, that good seed, and it yielded no crop. Hard beaten path, shallow soil, and now the weed bed. Finally, verse 8, but other seed fell on good ground. It was deep, no rocks. It was soft, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I want to point out, it's the same sower. A guy goes out and sows seed, same seed, but yet four different soil conditions, and therefore four different results. Then he said to him in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Huh. So there's more to the story than just a simple lesson in farming. Everybody knew about this type of farming. Jesus wasn't telling them something they didn't already know. But by saying, now he who has ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus indicated there was more to the story than just agriculture. And anyone with an inquiring mind, anybody who wanted to know more, was welcome to come to Jesus and ask him what he really meant about the sower and the seed. However, most of the people that day did not want spiritual truth. No, what most of them wanted was simply fleshly fulfillment. In John chapter 6, Jesus addressed the crowds that came to him for mere fleshly fulfillment. John 6, verse 26, he told them the truth. He answered them and said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. You don't want spiritual input. You want more bread. You're just after fulfillment for your belly, not true satisfaction for your souls. And so Jesus let him know that the people at that point were not interested in the spiritual. They were only interested in having their ears tickled, having their bellies filled, having their flesh satisfied. And because at this time in Mark's gospel, Jesus did not perform some miracle, but he simply taught about the kingdom, most of the people heard his farming story and then went away disappointed. Well, that wasn't worth my time. Of course I know about sowing seed. Who doesn't? And so they left without asking, and therefore they received nothing. Now in verses 10 through 12, inquiring minds want to know, and they get to know. Inquiring minds want to know and get to know. Verse 10, maybe the Lord speaking to Kevin, I don't know. Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. See, that's all it took. Just ask. It's not that Jesus was withholding information. No, but here's the deal. Jesus will minister to those who want to be ministered to. But he won't force himself on those who don't want to be ministered to. He's a gentleman. In Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He doesn't say, behold, I stand at the door with a battering ram and you better let me in or you're in trouble. No, he's just knocking. And he's waiting for you, waiting for me to open the door to him. And so whoever wants to know more is welcome to come to Jesus and say, Lord, what did you mean by that? And he is more than willing to reveal spiritual truth to those who would seek, those who would simply ask. In verse 11, he said to them, to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, those who aren't interested in listening, those who heard the story and went their way disappointed because they didn't get what they came seeking for. By the way, when you come to the Lord, there's a lesson I'm learning over these last several years since I received Jesus when I was 15 until this day. The older I get in the Lord, the less I come to him with my agendas. The less I come to him with my list of what I think he should do for me. And for others. Lord, here's my list. Here's how I want you to minister to the church and make it do this and that. And here's what I need for me. No, no, no. Less of that, more of, Lord, you tell me what I need to know. You give me what you think I need. Lord, I don't want to tell you what to do, but I am here asking. Just reveal to me what you want to reveal. Speak to me what I need to hear. Give me what I need. Lord, here's some situations that I entrust to you, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you to fix them or do this or do that. I'm just going to bring it again to your attention and pray your will be done. And so here, the people who came to Jesus, they have their agenda. But he didn't meet their needs. He didn't do any healing. He didn't do any miracles. He didn't walk on water. Where's the show, you know? No show? Just teaching? How boring is that? We need miracles. We need signs. We need wonders. How come people aren't doing Jericho marches here? What's the problem? You know? Just teaching? And they were bored with that and they left. But there were those, the disciples and a small other group of people with them who were, what did you mean by that? And he says, you know what? Because you're asking to you, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But those who are outside, they don't want to know. All things therefore come to them in parables so that seeing they may see and not perceive. They're looking at it, but they don't get it. Hearing they hear and do not understand. Yeah, it's going in their ears, but it's not being caught in their minds. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now here Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. And if you just read quickly over Isaiah chapter 6, you might come away with the thought that, hey, is God purposefully keeping people from understanding? Is God purposefully withholding truth from certain individuals? Keeping people, therefore, from repenting? Is it God only will reveal truth to some, but yet withhold from others because he likes these over there and he wants them to come to heaven, but these people over there, aw. Now, he won't reveal himself to them. Is that what's happening there? No. Because Jesus promised that whoever asks will receive. The offer is to whosoever will. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? No, you can have this rock. It's loaded with minerals. Here you go. Would any father do that? Some maybe because they're jerks, but not God. God would never do that. Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent? Here, kid, have a rattlesnake. Would any father do that? No. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So God isn't keeping people from knowing. It's just that many people just don't want to know. They got better things to do, at least they think. More important things to do, at least they think. The fault isn't with God, it's fault. The fault is with the people who just simply don't ask. They all heard the story. They all knew Jesus meant more than what he just said. Whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. But they never bothered to ask Jesus what he really meant. They went their way seeing but not perceiving, hearing but not understanding. The disciples, however, they did ask. So Jesus gave them perception and understanding. Now, in verses 13 through 20, the keys to this parable unlock other parables. The keys to this parable, if we understand the keys to this parable here is so vitally important because there are keys in it that help us to understand what Jesus really meant in his other parables. So let's notice the keys and use them to unlock the truths in the other parables. So he said to them, verse 13, do you not understand this parable? You don't get this one? Well, how then will you understand all the parables? So by understanding the elements of this parable, we will then be able to rightly interpret the other parables. Now, theologians, Bible scholars, have this big, long $5 word called hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means biblical interpretation, the study of interpreting the Bible, hermeneutics. Now, one principle of hermeneutics is called symbolic consistency. Symbolic consistency. In other words, if God says that Israel is likened unto a fig tree in one book of the Bible, then applying the hermeneutical technique of symbolic consistency, I'm running out of big words, by the way. They'll get smaller here in a second. By applying that principle of symbolic consistency, if Israel is likened unto a fig tree in the book of Hosea, then Israel will be likened unto a fig tree in the book of Joel. He won't say Israel is a fig tree in Hosea and then say Egypt is a fig tree in Joel. That would be scripturally, symbolically inconsistent. And so if we're going to study the Bible, we need to understand when God says one thing is one thing in one place, and that same thing applies the same way elsewhere. So by applying correct hermeneutics, here in verse 13, Jesus not only explains the parable of the sower and the seed, but also gives us the keys that unlock the meaning of his other parables. Verse 14, the sower sows the word. So seed is what? The word. It's the word of God. It's the Bible. So a sower goes out and sows the Bible. Whenever you see seed in other parables, Jesus is using that as an example, as an analogy of the word, the Bible. Now, first he says in verse 15, these are the ones by the wayside when the word, or when the seed is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the wayside, there are some people that are like a wayside, a hard pathway where the world has walked. Certain people's hearts become very hardened so that they do not receive the word of God. They allow the world to walk all over them. They listen to worldly music. They watch worldly things. They hang out with worldly people. It's all about the world. And then when the Bible is taught, Satan comes to them and says, "Oh, you don't need to listen to that. This guy's nuts. Besides, he's bald. Why would you listen to him anyway? You know, his jokes are so stupid. Why would you listen to him?" You know, that's Satan, by the way, saying that to you. Because they're really funny. But anyway, there are people that are like that. And it's not that the word doesn't have power. It's just that they will not receive it. Why? Because they've allowed the world to influence them to such a point that their hearts are hardened to the things of God. Notice in verse 4, back up there in verse 4, Jesus said that the birds of the air came and snatched away the seed that had fallen on this hard path. Here in verse 15, Jesus equates the birds of the air with who? Satan. Okay, therefore, this is a key that will help you unlock the other parables, specifically the parable how the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which grew up into a huge tree, and the birds of the air came and nested in its branches. I've heard pastors teach that parable and say, "Oh, the kingdom of God, it's going to get huge. It's wonderful, so good. And the birds of the air, people will come flocking to it and find refuge." And that's a nice story, but it's not biblical interpretation. It's not good hermeneutics. Because if we apply biblical consistency, we see Satan is a foul bird. And Satan will try to join the church. And he has. On many occasions, all throughout church history, the church has always struggled with the devil, who at one time tries to persecute, but then another time says, "Well, if you can't beat him, join him," and then beat him from within. And Satan has been allowed to infiltrate the church. And that's what Jesus is warning about in that parable. So the birds of the air help us to understand, as Jesus here equates them with Satan, helps us to understand other parables. Verse 16, the next type of soil. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, and if you love the Lord Jesus, do not be surprised if you're persecuted. In fact, expect it. Don't be surprised if your family looks at you as if you had a third eye. Don't be surprised if your neighbors look at you as if you're weird. Don't be surprised if people say things about you behind your back on the internet because you're standing up for Jesus. If you really, really love the Lord, understand you are an enemy of the world and all who dwell therein. And that's just the nature of it. And Jesus said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you. That's just how it is, gang. And the more we see our culture turning its back on Jesus Christ, on the Bible, the more we see the world embrace sin and immorality, promoting it as good, as a wonderful thing, celebrating even, demanding that we celebrate it, the more persecution that's going to arise. It's coming. It's already here. We're seeing it. It's coming even worse. It's going to be worse. Well, there's some people who are shallow believers, very shallow. I have great joy in the Lord. Oh, I love the Lord. Let me tell you all about the great things that I'm doing for God. But yet, when it gets tough, they fall away. They reveal their true colors. They wither. You see, stony ground cannot support long-lasting growth. Just superficial spirituality. Now, personally, I see this type of soil as a parallel of people who come to Jesus under the pretense that he will make their life better. They come to Jesus because they're told, hey, accept the Lord and God will make you wealthy. He'll always make you healthy. He'll always prosper you. These are the people that are impressed with the big and with the flashy. Those who are more interested in church programs than in having a personal, passionate relationship with the Savior of their souls. They want to know, oh, what's in it for me? What programs, what activities do you have? Oh, you don't have a softball field? Well, what kind of church are you? You don't have a gymnasium? And trust me, I'd love to have a gymnasium. I play basketball. I haven't in a while, but we have a little hoop out there. That's kind of the seed for hopefully a gym someday. I don't know, you know. But there are some people who think that if a church doesn't have that stuff, then they're not really a church. I want to point out that in the book of Acts, there were no gymnasiums. There were no softball fields. By the way, there were no youth groups, no children's ministries. Now, I appreciate children's ministry. I love our youth group. I pray for the Lord to raise up a college career pastor and also another youth minister, so that we can split the junior hires and the high schoolers up. But he hasn't done so far. And so we're waiting. But there's some people who say, well, if we don't have that, then we're not a real church. Really. Really. I'm picturing in my mind a little bit of soil and a lot of rocks underneath. No depth. No depth. Looking for what's in it for me. You know, and sadly, there are churches that are catering to this. Churches that are seeker-sensitive, catering to the felt needs of people. And it doesn't help. You know, there was one advertisement, you know, come to our church today and receive a free latte from our coffee shop, Jehovah Java. And also receive a 25% discount on our anointed pastor's book, Righteous Riches Right Now. Now, I'm joking. That's not really what somebody said, but that's kind of the implication. From time to time. Shallow soil. The roots only go into the things of this life. And they have no root into eternity. And so as long as you're providing all the fun and the flash, they're in. But when it gets tough, they go away. Third type of soil. Verse 18. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things. By the way, not necessarily bad things, just other things. Entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Again, these aren't necessarily bad things that these people desire, but they're not the best thing. And therefore, by focusing on these other things, the best thing, that which produces spiritual fruit, is choked out. Personally, I see this type of thorny soil as representing a carnal Christian, if there is such a thing. A person who is more interested in pleasing themselves, their flesh, than in sacrificially serving the Lord. So instead of simply trusting the Lord and following Him, the carnal Christian allows other things to factor into their lives. They allow feelings, they allow emotions, they allow other things, concern for other things, to factor into their lives. Jesus broke it down into three areas that this thorny ground person is like. The cares of this world, which would include politics, which would include careers and family and friends and stuff and junk and things. Absolutely. Just other things, not necessarily bad things, but the cares of this world. So often, it's like, okay, this is really important to me, and church is too, but there are times that other things take precedence over, oh, really? Why? Why is it that we allow other things, the cares of this world, to take precedence over spiritual things? Well, it's just life, not mine. Not the life that Jesus wants to lead us into. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. But so often, some seek first the other things, and they give to God their leftovers, if there's anything left over. The cares of this world. Then He said, the deceitfulness of riches. Well, you know, I go to church, but... or I tithe, but I'm just not in a financial position to do so. Really? The Lord's asked us to bless Him back with a portion of what He so abundantly blessed us with, and we say we can't do what God's asked us to do? How come? Why? This is a deceitfulness of riches. Oh, I'll tithe when I make this much, or I'll give, I'll do this when... Really? Choking out the word. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. I know I'm really supposed to serve in the children's ministry, but hey, the bass are really biting right now. I can't do it. Desire for other things. You've heard of couch potatoes? Well, these carnal Christians, the thorn weed bed, they're pew potatoes. Couch potatoes and their pew potatoes, they might be saved, but because they pursue the things of the flesh instead of the things of the Spirit, they become unfruitful. Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God, they give God what is left over, if anything at all. You know, it is interesting how there are some, I trust nobody here, this is obviously not a lesson for you, this is a lesson for those who are out fishing, not here, I don't know what they're doing. Some are content if you know, Jesus is the doorway of salvation. And He says, in My Father's house, there are many dwelling places, many mansions. So picture there's only one way into the house of God, and that's through the doorway of Jesus Christ. But inside there are blessings and riches and glory and grace and mercy and truth and righteousness. There's so much inside the house of God. And the Lord is saying, you can only come in one way, and that's Me, Jesus Christ. But once you're in, let Me lead you through the house where you can experience so much more. There are some people who come in the doorway of salvation. They get saved and they say, wow, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to lay down right here and not go a step further. What? There's so much more. Oh, just tell me I need to be born again and again and again and again. And that's fine with me. But don't talk to me about other things. I'm fine right here. And for all practical intents and purposes, there are many people that just, they're focused on their salvation and that's it. They never proceed any further. Why? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. They come to the doorway, maybe they step across the threshold, but they proceed no further. The result? Spiritual barrenness. Verse 20, the fourth type of soil, which I trust and pray is all of us here this morning. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it. In other words, they're not filtering it through their own thought processes. You know, when the word of God goes forth, they're not saying, well, you know, but science contradicts that, so I don't think I need to believe that. Well, you know, psychologists have said that the opposite is true, so I can reject the Bible. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. And if it's settled in the heavens, it ought to be settled in our hearts, right? Somebody say amen, please. Amen. Amen. In other words, God's word is true, and if science says that it's not, then science is lying. Psychiatrists are lying. Politicians are lying. Imagine that. If they say anything contrary to the word of God, let God be true, but every man a liar, the scripture says. We've settled the word in our hearts. And whenever a thought or whenever an ideology comes to us that is not biblical, we say, well, you're wrong. And you know what? I don't have to prove that they're wrong. I just know that it's wrong because the Bible says what's right. And so they might go through their mental gymnastics and jump through a lot of intellectual hoops, but if they're not in agreement with the Bible, they're wrong. Flat out wrong. But those who have good soil, they hear the word, they accept it. It is true, it is right. And then they bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. You know, these are people, by the way, who've prepared their hearts to get ready to receive the word of God and apply it. Let me ask you, this morning, did we prepare our hearts in prayer before coming in here today? Because here's the deal. The world, the flesh, and the devil have been trying desperately this last week to walk all over us. They've been trying to bury stones in our soil. They've been trying to distract us with other things. But through prayer, we break up the fallow ground. We remove the stones and we retain our focus and our commitment to the Lord. And all who prepare their hearts in prayer beforehand will always receive something from the Lord, whether it be a word that is spoken from the pulpit or whether it will be the Holy Spirit just moving upon people's lives. I've had so many conversations with prayerfully prepared people. After a Bible study, they'll say, wow, you know, it was so cool when you said da 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 da. And I'll say to them, I never said that. Oh, sure you did. Oh, no, I didn't. You got that from the Holy Spirit himself. Why? Because you took and did you pray this morning before coming? Oh, yeah. Well, that's why. You were prepared. You were ready. We prepare our hearts through prayer. So I would encourage every one of us, before listening to a podcast or a Bible study or a teaching on the radio, whatever it might be, Lord, prepare my heart. I really need to hear from you today. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening. Just a simple prayer, breaking up that fallow ground, you'll receive so much more. So much more. Again, there are four different types of soil representing four conditions of the human heart. And it's interesting to look at these, but we got to bring it to us today. How's your heart? Right now, the condition of your heart. As we've been reading through this, where do you see yourself? Are you good soil, eager, on fire, serving the Lord, prayerfully cultivating your heart so that you can receive the word of God? Are you bearing fruit? Or do you see yourself as one of the other three types of ground, maybe hardened, or maybe shallow, or maybe concerned with stuff that's just choking out the word? Where are you today. If you see yourself as barren, fruitless, then the Lord offers to you a heart transplant today, taking out the heart of stone, giving you a soft heart, yielded to Him. It's up to you if you want it, just like the disciples who came to Jesus and said, well, you know, what did you really mean by that? In a sense, He had an altar call there, and some responded, and they received. And this morning, after the closing song, if you see that your heart's not right before God, you're not prepared, you got other things going on in your mind and your heart that are distracting you from really being in love with Jesus today, if that's you, then after the closing song, you make your way forward. People will be up front here that would love to pray with you. And Father, with that, we do thank You for Your word, which is true. It's always been true. It will always be true. Lord, heaven and earth will pass away, but Your word will by no means pass away. And Lord, Satan has done a good job at lying to the world and even trying to lie to the church. But Lord, we have Your word settled in our hearts. Your word is true. And Lord, thank You for this parable that helps us to understand what You meant in the other parables. Thank You so much for You, Lord, and Your willingness to be the good sower who goes and sows the good seed, and Lord, Your heart to prepare our hearts beforehand. Lord, wherever there is hardness, wherever there is shallowness, wherever, Lord, there are competing forces in our hearts and minds, Lord, would You please take that away and give us a heart that is fully yielded to You. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.